Pickaxe.
Hey y'all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Pitch Please, the podcast where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. My name's Alex. Tom, I need a wee. I don't know why I just didn't go for one before. I can hold it, though. It's fine.
What, for an hour?
Yeah, it's fine. I'm very good at that.
Tom can carry on the intro.
Just go now. That's good. I'll hold it.
I'll get more urgent towards the end.
Oh, great. Okay.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I don't need to go. I'm joined by James.
Hello, I'm James. Dream more glue than game dev developer.
Why did you struggle so much to say that?
Such a pause. Okay?
No, I'm just going with the whole let's mess up the intro every week, you know? Definitely on purpose.
Perfect. Thanks. Very, very professional. We're also joined by Chris.
Yo, what up?
I don't know what that was.
I don't have a fun intro, but I can tell that currently right now on Switch Store worldwide, Brunch Club is 90% off. It's like £1 or $1.
Get it. Wow. Get it.
It might not be by the time this goes out.
If you want to get, as time of recording, birthday boy Chris a little birthday present, yeah. There you go. Happy birthday.
Make
to
me money.
And we're also a returning guest again. We have Dr. Sryman Clark. I don't know why.
What is wrong with you?
Are you hello?
I don't know why I said
come
it.
On, like,
Dr. Sryman Clark is back
hello,
again.
Hello. I don't need to pee. I just went for a pee actually before because I'm a responsible podcaster.
I'm not an irresponsible adult as well.
In many ways.
He likes to live on the edge, not peeing before doing a podcast.
Yeah, and if you missed Simon's episode last time, he pitched probably one of the best ideas we've had, Eye of the Storm, which was an amazing battlegrounds racing.
Chris, don't you fucking say anything about bikes. I know that you're thinking it.
There was.
It was amazing, but unfinished. Because there were still some quirks to tweak, to fix, to work out. However, I thought it was awesome. It sounded like a really amazing game.
I really want to make it.
Well, do it.
I mean, the thing is, so I've been doing a bit of game dev stuff. So basically, since coming on the show last time, I was like, fuck it. These guys can do it. I can do it.
Well,
so
that's the spirit.
You know, well, I wanted to try and...
Some of us can do it.
I hate being an inspiration because I feel like that's... You're really looking at the wrong people here.
I know. Actually, because I get that sometimes on YouTube where people are like, oh, you know, you're such an inspiration. And I'm like, have more greater ambitions.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, look up to different people, Christ.
I mean, you can do better.
I have to say, I tuned into your stream yesterday. And I don't know what the heck you were doing, but it looked incredibly complicated in terms of coding. What were you coding? You were coding, and it just looked like...
So yeah, we were coding a
climate
model.
Are you hacking NASA?
So we have our pet climate model called Claude, which was named by the community, not me.
Okay. Does Claude stand for anything?
It's a backronym rather than...
Yeah,
so like,
okay.
Because Claude was the name of a capybara emote that we have, and I don't know. But it's a backronym is Climate Analysis Using Digital Estimations.
That's not a bad backronym.
There you go.
Right?
It's not a bad backronym, no.
Pretty sensible.
Oh, the CNL from Climate. Okay.
And
okay.
Basically what we were doing is... simulating
cord.
What we were doing was sort of calculating how temperatures and velocities in the atmosphere would vary in response to, you know, the being heated by the sun. And we've been doing this for a couple of months now because it turns out it's really hard and technical. My programming is awful. Like, it's really badly programmed.
Jump club.
So, you know, eventually I'm going to have to go back and do it properly, but we're getting there. So it's been a really good project.
If people are interested in the progress of Claude, where can they watch you?
So they can watch me on Twitch, twitch.tv/SimonClark. And then it's also, the code is all available on GitHub.
Nice.
Which is, if you just do like !git in the chat, it'll come up. Because the idea is eventually this is going to be it is an open source project that anybody can take. And it's written in Python deliberately so that it's easy to interact with. So people can write their own modules to add to what the model is doing, whether they want to represent, you know, like different activities or better estimations of clouds or stuff like that. The whole idea is it's kind of like a teaching tool as well as just kind of like an idle pastime at the moment.
Okay.
So since you have your code,
I made a game where you roll toast around.
Since you have your code available to everyone, do you have just a load of people like jumping in and saying, this is horribly optimized and that you could do this a million times better, or...
You've been on my Discord, I see. That's all I have to deal with.
Did you tell those people to fuck off?
Well, the thing is, I'm like, this is scrap code, guys. This is a proof of concept. And then we're going to do a big restructure and we're going to do everything using classes and it's all going to be fine. And, you know, because we're using Cython, like, to optimize as best we can to, like, make it go a bit faster. Just terribly. You can write Python code and it will convert it to C code. So it compiles it.
Oh, I get it.
Love that shit.
So on the subject of Python though, because that's basically, so since the last episode, I've been experimenting with doing like a little bit of game dev, and I've tried building my own engine because this is what I wanted to know
because, like, unlike any of the returning guests or like any of the other guests we've had on this podcast, it looks like you've actually taken something, the idea of making games, and gotten excited about it and actually been proactive. And when I spoke to you about coming back on,
all the other ones, lazy fuckers,
they just expect us to do it and we're not going to do it because we're also lazy, whereas you've not only just interested in making your own game, you said that you were making your own engine, like which, as you said that, I think Chris just like immediately clammed up and facepalmed and died a bit inside.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the hardest things you could possibly do ever, right?
Well, I mean, when I say engine, it's like, it's not a full 3D engine like Source or Unity or anything like that. It's basically, actually, can I show my screen? This is great podcasting.
Yeah,
material.
It's amazing podcasting.
We'll get Tom to provide an audio description.
So basically,
his screen.
There we go.
That's a nice voice.
I built this kind of isometric grid thing. And this is the game that I want to talk to you about because it's a shit idea and I think you can make it better. Basically, hang on. Is it coming up for you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it. So Tom, what are we looking at the moment? What can you see?
So it is an isometric. There's currently a board of just loads and loads of stone tiles, and in the middle there is some four water tiles and one grass tile, and on the side there's just two buttons that say grass and tree.
And that only comes up when you highlight a tile that you can build on.
Okay.
So the idea is you can construct grass using photosynthesis points down here in the bottom right.
Okay.
The more grass you put down, the more photosynthesis points you get. And then this number above that is, so there's two numbers. This is great podcasting.
I'll take a screenshot and we'll put it on the Twitter so people can have a look.
There's two numbers. You have like the total biomass in the system, and then you have like the total photosynthesis points. And the idea is you expand out from where the water is, building more and more grass, and you can't build, or is it trees that you can't build? Yeah, you need, I think it's 50 photosynthesis points for a tree.
Right.
And the idea is you eventually cover, it's meant to be a city, but I downloaded a free texture pack for isometric tiles.
Right, okay.
And the idea being that you eventually, it's going from grasses to trees, and the more trees you put down, the more photosynthesis you unlock.
It's a tree.
It's kind of like a clicker game, right? Where the more,
it's like Plants versus Zombies.
Yeah, so the
clicker game aspect is definitely where I want it to go in the future, because like I very much imagine this. Sorry, should we actually talk? So this is basically my tech demo. Yeah,
before we get too far into this, can you actually just give us the pitch
right
of the game?
So what I'm calling this project at the moment is Reclaim, and basically what I wanted to do was a city unbuilder. So rather than something like city, like SimCity or Skylines or something like that, you start with a city that's been abandoned by humans, and you as nature are reclaiming it. And so you start from a water source and you build out grasses and moss or whatever it is. And eventually, you know, you start getting bushes, eventually start getting trees. And initially that is something that's controlled by the player. Like you place down a grass tile. But that's going to get like woefully impractical eventually. So what I eventually want to do is add stuff like birds and animals into it that do the spreading for you. So it's like a kind of a passive, it's like a passive god game, I guess, would probably be the closest like genre to it.
Yeah.
Because this was formed when I played, I think it's Islands, or is it Islanders?
Islanders.
Like
a really, yeah, we yeah. talked yeah. about that a couple of times in this show.
Really, really chill, like low poly kind of look, and it's just really relaxing to play. And I'd really like the vibe of that, and I really wanted to do something that also had kind of, yeah, I guess kind of cookie clicker elements to it.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that in this time, what is it, 50 to place one tree? You currently have 15,000 photosynthesis points now.
It needs to be tested. Yeah. You know.
So the reclamation has happened at this point. You have won within the 2 minutes of playing this game. But yeah, so big city that's full of pollution and buildings and car parks and no grass, no forestry, no parks or anything. It's just cement and grey buildings. And
what I figured is you can actually sort of, you could do a campaign style, you know, a sequence of scenarios where you start with maybe like a small town that already has some greenery in it. But then depending on the configuration of whether there's a river or a lake or there's like a park that's already existing in the city, it can change how you deploy your original tiles. And, you know, with there being a limitation of you need to have access to water originally to like spread a tile, it can kind of change the direction that your strategy, where you go with it.
Yeah.
I love that, the initial, just a very basic idea of a city unbuilder. I think that sounds really cool. And like in my head, like immediately when you're saying that stuff, I'm thinking of, you know, like the really classic visions of post-apocalyptic cities, or like Last of Us
kind of thing. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, exactly that kind of thing. Chris, you kind of James, want the, what are your...
You want the Chernobyl effect, don't you? You kind of want... maybe some mutated trees and plants and vines as a result of some a post-apocalyptic event, so that they kind of
see
have
that. And that's the thing
with.
That I think it's lacking at the moment is, at the moment it's very chill and very casual, but like you do need some form of negative feedback, because at the moment it's a purely positive feedback loop of you place more stuff, you get more photosynthesis points or whatever, and you know then you can build more stuff. And I feel like maybe if you wanted to go down that Chernobyl route of there being areas that are irradiated and you have to spend points in order to, you know, de-irradiate them or something like that.
I think it could also fall a little bit into like a puzzle game thing, where maybe the area you start in is surrounded by roads and pavement and all of these things. It's difficult for plants to grow through. Right, like eventually it'll have the power to sprout right through the road or whatever. But maybe when you place it, if you place it too far away from the exit point, it's like, well, shit, I can't quite reach that exit, so I'm lost, or something like that. And it's kind of a careful placement to make sure that the expansion of this thing, I guess there is like a natural expansion when you place a grass tile, the grass around it starts to spread and grow, or maybe vines or plant growth or whatever. And I guess you're trying to make sure that it is able to get to this open expanse of land quicker, so that you can then spread even further. And if you don't do that, then I guess it dies out, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm still not sure exactly what the victory conditions are. Like, I think in my mind, I imagine this to be that kind of several scenarios, like a campaign. And actually, there's this underlying story that's not explicitly told, but it's like sort of the story of how the apocalypse happened. And it kind of happens in the margins. Maybe in some of the tile art, you see sort of human refugees, like every now and again, like fleeing from one of the buildings. And you can sort of piece it together. So I'm wondering if maybe that means, you know, for each scenario, for each mission, you know, you have a specific goal of have this many trees or have this much biomass in total or whatever it may be. But that's, I'm hoping that with like talking to you guys, I can sort of workshop this a bit from like really bare bones to something that's much more fleshed out.
So the thing that I was thinking is if, and maybe James and Chris, you might have ideas about this as well, but like what you're talking about, having some kind of negative feedback or something that that doesn't just stop you from just getting bigger and bigger and like it just being quite easy is if humans were the ones to have essentially like fucked this up to begin with or to stop, you know, to remove everything in the first place, well, then if it is post-apocalypse, there are still people around, like humanity still exists, right? Is that some kind of element of like humanity is still attempting to rebuild?
I feel like that could be a fun thing to sort of add more in if you wanted to go down like the campaign progression. Because I suppose you could do it, put a pin in that. I'll come back to that idea in a second. Like you could have more human interference the further along you go. So, you know, you start out and it's just nature, and then maybe there's like a small area of the map in a subsequent scenario where people will just burn whatever goes in that area. And then, you know, later have to deal with loads of people. But just to come back to sort of that idea that I was going through, I think the alternative would be, I've been playing way more than I would care to admit of Element's tower defense recently, like Element TD2.
Classic.
And I feel like that might be a sort of an alternative way of making this interesting of perhaps you have a procedurally generated city every time and it's just like a victory condition that you have to try and reach as, and it's a time thing or, you know, you so it, how as does, the difficulty
could you just
ramps
give a brief
up.
Description of Element TD2?
Sorry, yeah. So it's a tower defense game. So you have waves of enemies that come at you and get stronger and stronger and stronger.
Okay.
And to combat these enemies, you place down towers which have different abilities. So they might be single target, they might be area of effect type attacks, but the fun thing about Element's TD is that it's elemental, so you have the creeps that you're fighting can be, you know, fire or water or earth, whatever it is, and for example if they're a fire type they will receive double damage from water type towers, but I can't remember what the half damage half damage from nature type towers, for example.
Oh, okay.
So you and basically you can only build towers that you have sort of unlocked by choosing elements. So you have to basically pick which elements you're going to go with. So your like towers have like the configuration of your defenses have just an innate weakness and an innate strength that you have to kind of combat as best you can. So okay. I love it. It's so addictive.
I didn't actually realize that's what it was. I just thought it was another tower defense game. I didn't realize it had like an elemental circle of strengths and weaknesses. That's really cool.
Yeah, really highly recommend it.
What's coming to mind is I can't help but think of Katamari Damacy and how you could essentially start really small. Like you say, you're starting with one tile currently and you're clicking. What if you were in an apartment block or something and someone's planted some basil on their windowsill and then they then they can see the plant pot on the next apartment block and then they spread over to there and then they notice that there's a little puddle of water, then they jump to that and then you zoom in out and out and out until you've covered the entire city in vines and trees
I really like that idea. Like you start as the basil plant that repopulates the world
basically. Yeah
Adam and Eve
maybe it doesn't need to be post-apocalyptic, maybe it just happens under the, you know, under the nose of people that are living there, and the idea is to try and spread out as much as possible. But then I feel like it ends up being kind of a carrion kind of type game where you kind of spreading your tendrils everywhere. And I don't think it's necessarily in the ethos of this idea to be bad. You're kind of
I like the reclamation
side of it. So maybe it is an abandoned city more than anything, but. Maybe it's totally concrete apart from one little sprout that then...
That's sort of the vision I have is, like sort of concrete jungle and then one actual living thing in it that then sort of expands and spreads from that point. Because I know that that the other thing that sort of sparked me was Terra Nil. I don't know if anyone played that or saw that, but it's a similar kind of idea. But that's basically like a city builder, but you are nature. But it means that you actually have to place down, like, you know, wind turbines, and you have resources to have to manage and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I wanted, because I saw that game and I was like, oh, this sounds amazing. This is the kind of game that actually I'd really like to make. And then it was when I actually saw footage of it, I was like, well, it's actually just kind of like a city builder. It's just a reskin.
Same thing.
Whereas I kind of want to take that idea and flip it on its head. And it is almost like tearing down something. It's a destructive rather than a constructive game, but it's destructive in the sense that you're restoring what was there before. It's kind of a retribution game.
Extremely destructive. Like, I don't think you'll have plants that are like, tear down this wall. But it's like, you can click on it and inhabit it. And depending on the scale that you go for, like if it's played like a city builder, you can just click on the building and say, yeah, I've got enough plant power to inhabit this building and eventually, you know, take it over. And as time goes on, you can see vines growing up it, maybe cracks start to form in the building. And then maybe when it reaches a certain point, it becomes almost like an explosion thing where it's like, cool, this building has now got so much in there that it explodes outwards and infects all the other buildings, quote unquote, infects. James.
I sort of like the idea that you don't necessarily know what the result of your click is going to be. So if you're like, oh, I'll plant here, and then you sort of start to see the spread. Because the thing that comes to mind is what's the timeline like? Is growth instant, or do you have like day night cycle, like speeding through, and then you can see, okay, it's growing over time. And then do you have the concept of seasons as well? Do you have like a deadline to get as much as possible before winter, and then the cycle repeats again, and then you spread out from there. What do we think?
Sorry, I'm just taking notes here. I'm
sorry. Yeah, I started writing when you said seasons. Yeah, you got him excited.
What do you think? How quickly do you see this playing out? Like, do things grow instantly, or is it accelerated growth?
I feel like I'm also thinking of this from like, how the fuck am I going to program this? But like,
don't worry about it. Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like we can give the like, ideas.
I imagine that it would be like there'd be several stages of growth. So like it would. I'm trying to think. What's the like for example, Minecraft, right? You know, you have like wheat grows over, you know, how many I don't know how many minutes it takes in game time, but you have like, you know, five stages it's like five stages of grief, but it's five stages of wheat growth.
Stages of wheat.
That's the name of the game.
Stages of wheat growth. So like I imagine that it would be it's not instantaneous. You do see it grow, but it's not like prohibitively, it's certainly not real time.
Yeah,
this
is
one of these games that if you played it in real time would be so shit.
Yeah,
come back in 6 years.
Could there be like a, you know, fast forward thing? You know, like in most city builders, you have the ability to time lapse, speed up time, slow it down.
I don't see why not. I don't think there'd be. I feel like if you put a day night cycle in, it's just like an epilepsy guarantee.
Yeah, yeah. I think it needs to be very quick, almost like, you know, you see the days tick by as seconds. Or maybe even, you know, you could take a different approach and say it's a turn-based game where you say, right, these are the things I'm doing. And then, bam, it just says like, right, 1 year later, this is the effect of these things you've done. May I make some more decisions? You could do it that way, I guess.
Then again, you do have different, like, different plants have different growth rates and stuff, right? Like, isn't like bamboo supposed to grow at an insane rate? Like you can
Some species that are like 30 centimeters a day.
And also they'll tear up everything. They will destroy the planet. If the world was bamboo, there would be no world.
I'm not saying this seriously, but it would be kind of funny if you could have like plant mercenaries, like Japanese knotweed, that like multiply really quickly, they'll fuck everything up if you don't keep them in check.
Maybe that should be something like in terms of actually being able to have control over what you're selecting and what you're building or debuilding, I guess, is, you know, can you actually select certain plants and certain types of plants to be like, could you say, I want to send in the Japanese knotweed here because this is fucking full of concrete. I need
send
to fuck it up.
Send in the knotweed.
Yeah. or is it, are you thinking very much more just like, I want to grow in this area. I'm going in this direction now, whatever happens.
I'd imagined it as like, an area-based thing, like as because it's funnily enough, just before, like 2 days ago, I watched this documentary on God Gaming, and okay. It was by Indigo Gaming, which is, they do this insane, like 2 hour long documentaries on sort of gaming topics. And there was this whole thing a lot of Peter Molyneux and a lot of Peter Molyneux fucking up and overpromising.
Sure.
But yeah, talking about like Populous and Black and White and stuff like that. And it was, that was kind of, I think, what I was always imagining, but I hadn't quite articulated it. Like, you don't have direct control like you would in an RTS or something like that. But it's like, and, you know, I suppose I'm imagining something a bit like a city builder in that, you know, in city builders, you zone an area and you say, build housing here, but I'm not going to tell you where to put each house. But yeah, on like a tile by, because again, I'm thinking of this as like a tech thing. I'm imagining tile by tile grow into, you know, this area, but then there will be like a natural growth rate associated with each, you know, tile, with each species that you put in, that could then be compounded by like plants, sorry, by birds spreading it, for example. Because that would be like, when you introduce animals, that's kind of like a natural feedback loop on it, that you could accidentally introduce too many birds or something and suddenly you don't have any plants left.
How do you control, or do you have any control over anything like that?
I feel like you'd have to introduce kind of all, like a full ecosystem at once. You'd have to introduce like herbivores and carnivores at the same time. Because otherwise, if you just introduce carnivores, they're not going to do fuck all to the plants. But if you just introduce herbivores, they'll eat all the plants. And then you just have herbivore simulator. So like, I feel like you'd have to kind of introduce maybe two species at once. Or something like that.
How do you do that? So is it just kind of like a required, is it almost like a, we've talked about this in like the mushroom game as well, but like, is it almost like Viva Pinata where you have certain requirements in your area?
Yeah, yeah.
That's just like literally a checkbox of, okay, if you have this kind of plant, then this animal will appear. If you have this kind of herbivore, then this carnivore will appear.
Yeah, because I again, sort of going back to that kind of God game ethos of you don't have direct control. I think I would prefer that. Like you don't, you know, go to a menu and buy a tiger, you know, a tiger will just appear. Terrifying.
It's a game of fulfilling parameters, and then hopefully the stuff appears when we've you know, marked off the checklist.
You know, but you describing it like that makes it sound just like a climate model, and I think I've realised where my inspiration for this has come from.
So when you said zoning areas, that does feel a bit weird because I guess
I'm not proposing to do that in the game, but like that's more just like an ethos type thing of like spread off in this area, not saying, you know.
There is a game that is a city builder called Foundation where you do have control over, you know, zoning areas and things like that, and they do follow those laws. If you say this area you can't build houses here. However, the people, you don't actively build, there's a house here, there's a house here, there's a house here. You just say this is a housing area, and they will just build houses along the routes that they take to work or to the mine or whatever. And it's really cool because it feels like that city has been built around what your people are doing, rather than you just saying this is the housing district and you don't have 100% control. And it's cool because eventually you see housing districts just cropping up over time, and it's like, oh, nice, that's actually a really logical place to put it. I wouldn't have put it there, but sure, I like that.
Right.
And there's kind of like a life to the world that is being built by you on a smaller scale. And I think that sort of thing, maybe obviously with plants and animals, you can't just say, don't fucking build a house there, because they will.
But, damn plants.
Yeah, just seeing things happen and you have to react to it as they do it. Like in Foundation, if they build a house exactly where you wanted to build a mine or a tailor shop or whatever, and you're like, do I destroy this dude's house? He really wanted to live here. But you have to kind of react to that as it happens. And that's kind of cool.
What I'm hearing from this is I should sort of try and design a game that Tom Clark wants to play.
Like, yes.
If we're going along that is like a guiding philosophy. Like,
it works.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, what is your favorite city builder?
what is my favorite city builder?
Yeah.
I don't really play a lot of city builders, it's got to be said, but Banished was really good. I really like Banished, mainly because it had that kind of, you could see the people walking around doing their own little things, but
yeah,
because they were characters in the world, it wasn't like City Skylines where you've got 2,000 population and they are just cars on the road and they just are people in your city. It felt like the characters is like, oh, what, fucking Brenda died? Man, they were my best woodcutter. And that was pretty good. Like the first Settlers game, I really loved that. And that was obviously ages and ages ago. But beyond that,
Jesus, yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't really played a huge amount of city builder games. I think that's one of the games that I have the least, or the genres I have the least experience with.
Is that something that this game might be missing in terms of, like, you're talking about like the in Banished and what was the other one? Forgot the name of it.
Foundation.
Already. Foundation, yeah, yeah. Like the idea of having the people react to what you're doing, like there's some kind of personality in there, I think, in a way. Whereas,
yeah, well, I think it's less the people reacting, more you reacting to what the people are actively doing. Like, yeah, like when they build a house just in the middle of nowhere, and it's like, oh fuck, okay, okay, cool. And you have to change your gameplay because the game throws you a curveball. So yeah, maybe like, yeah, when you fill the parameter and herbivores turn up and then they start fucking destroying a particular quote unquote district of your plant growth, then you're like, shit, okay, that's going to really destroy me if they completely disconnect this from my, you know, from the neural hub of my plant network that started in this basil plant in this apartment. And if
I like
it disconnects,
how we've all agreed it's a basil plant, by
way. Yeah.
It's patient zero.
But mints are the ones that normally like spread like absolute buggery, if anyone's ever had that problem before.
But like having to actively fight against the game doing something that is caused by something that you have done, because you built X amount of plants in this area, you've caused this thing to happen, and it's harming or helping you in particular ways, maybe in ways you didn't necessarily expect it to or even want it to. But that changes the way that you grow. Because if the game has no impact on what you're doing or has no way of informing or changing based on your actions, then it's
not a game.
it's a cookie clicker game, right? Like,
yeah,
there isn't
you're just growing,
a huge
and
amount of change.
Well, so I mean, like maybe in terms of fulfilling certain parameters, so far we've talked about like good things happening, like you're getting herbivores or carnivores, you're just kind of increasing your growth.
I don't necessarily herbivores are a good thing, because like, yeah, they might be a good thing in your future growth later on, but I think in their first inception into your little world, they could start tearing
all
down
your shit.
Everything. Yeah. And then you have to rapidly fill the parameter of carnivores turning up so that they can quell the herbivore population. But then if there's too many carnivores, the herbivores start going down, the plant growth starts getting wild. But if you get too many
wild animals, do you then potentially have the threat of humans coming in, because they're going to want to hunt? They're hunter gatherers now in this post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah. And then they start building car parks, and then it turns into a city building
game. And then
game,
someone reinvents the car.
But they're the enemy.
Wait. Oh God, it's Spore. It's happened again.
I think it's a game of balancing, right? Just this level's getting too high. How do I counter that? By letting this thing happen, or by, you know, stopping this thing from happening here, or whatever. And if the levels go completely out of whack, then certain things happen that I guess completely end your run, or I don't know, maybe really badly inhibit you, so you're like, it's going to take like 4 hours to rebuild what I've just done, or something like that.
Because the other thing, I suppose, as like a sort of a guiding philosophy behind this, was I did definitely want this to be a chill game. This is like, in the same way that Cookie Clicker is something you can have on in the background. I'm not saying this is necessarily a background game, but like something that you just sort of play for like half an hour in the evening to kind of unwind. Because like, not only is it meant to be relaxing in the sense that you're greenifying an area and like, you know, casually spreading, you don't have to do any hard work. Also just like having it feel kind of low, I don't know, not necessarily low stakes, but like not like you're constantly fighting against you know, like massive negative mechanism, I guess. And what I'm saying is I don't like hard games. I don't like games.
Okay. Okay. So maybe feel like a person to ask then.
I think this is actually a golf game. I think what? You start off what? With the basil what? Plant is the is the golf ball, right? And then you go,
the classic
right,
James
I'm going to survey the course. I'm going to survey the concrete jungle and go, oh, there's some water over there, right. Shoot my basil plant that way and it lands in the water and then it can spread a bit more. And I go, right,
wait,
where's
what do you
the
mean,
next thing?
What do you mean shoot your basil plant?
What do you mean golf?
We can
that's
just,
what
we
he calls it, okay?
Later,
like, but whatever James wants to call it, he can call it that.
And then
last
from,
night,
from,
what'd you do? I shot my basil plant.
I shot up a basil plant.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think, if we're making it casual, if we're making it like, you know, relaxing, it, this whole idea of spreading needs to be easy. And maybe it
well,
is
so you're
just,
shooting if basil plants out of a cannon?
No, I'm saying that's the where we start is your basil plant.
Okay.
And then you go, right, okay, what it's basically combining a few ideas that we've talked about. And if we're making it kind of puzzly, and you go, okay, I can see my concrete jungle in front of me. I can see the course. What's the best route for me to take so that I can connect this point to this point, and then from there I can go
okay,
over there. I can spread out a bit more over there. So that's why it's a golf game, because it's just you're just connecting
golf.
Points.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So,
sure.
Chris, is it a golf game for you?
No. I had a couple of ideas originally, and then we sort of went in the more casual. So my original ideas were more conventional. City builder-esque kind of ideas.
Okay.
So I can just shelve them. But this one now for me encourages a little bit more of the Viva Pinata route. So say you've got two sides of a map and there's a canyon in the middle, right? And you're like, well, I'm going to place this tree here and this is going to attract rabbits, which then eventually will bring in a predator, let's say foxes. Okay. And so they are now an ecosystem where they control each other's population. If the foxes hunt the rabbits too much, the trees will start growing more, but then the foxes will die because they can't eat. And then their population goes down and the rabbits goes back up. But then also you need to think about how seeds and how trees spread. So there could be wind events where you're like, okay, so this is a tree that propagates by wind.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, so if I have this, then I know I can get over there. Or I want to go over to that side.
That's the goal.
So I
James.
Need to attract seeds that birds will eat, because birds generally spread seeds by pooping them out. So you do things like that. And then as a negative, which isn't really a negative, I think this takes it a bit away from the casual stuff a bit, is that things like forest, if it's apocalyptic and, you know, world ending, we can have extreme weather events. So it's more of a game about adapting rather than just spreading. Because if you have a forest fire, you could destroy half your forest. But then that ground that's left is more fertile. So you can actually maybe then give a buff to stuff that grows back, whether it's time that it grows back quicker, or just then if it produces, the last one produced one fruit per season, this now produces two fruit per season because it's grown back on fertile ground due to a fire, which is essentially how forest fires work anyway. They're just as part of the cycle as any other thing. It's just that we see them
I
more
really
now because
like
humans cause them more now. And then on top of that, you could have, you know, floods. Okay, so now I can't grow what I would normally grow in there, so I have to adapt and go, okay, a mangrove. So now I grow like a mangrove forest, and maybe they can give me something that something else does, which means I attract fish, which attracts different type of predators, bears or something like that, which then scares off the foxes. So now my rabbits are going out of control. So you need to sort of adapt to how things happen. You have control, but you're still at the mercy of Mother Nature in a sense where, you know, a lightning strike could just start a forest fire. And you're like, okay, good. I can't stop this because I'm just trees. obviously, it won't spread on
I'm
forever.
Just trees.
Because, yeah.
Is that the name of
I'm
the
just thing? Trees.
I really like that. I really, really like that.
And I think that's the way I would try and lean. The original idea was that you needed more resource management, because like in a city builder, everything has, yes, you're only spending one type of resource, but that then costs, it goes into a resource that you now need to either spend more to make of, like electricity. If I place a building, it takes up more electricity. So then I need to now place a building that generates more electricity. So I don't know if that's something you might need, and if you can figure out a solution to that.
Yeah, because I feel like a one resource thing is there's just not enough complexity for it to be interesting. Like, I kind of imagined it as being like a construction, you know, like a resource for construction, like photosynthesis points, whatever you want to call it. But then also maybe something like water, but quite how you would spread water other than, you know, just plants spread it themselves through the soil, I don't know. Because the other thing is, like, I'm trying to make this not realistic, because obviously it's not fully realistic, but something that does actually have sort of, it's grounded, you know. It's not like, oh, you place the water generating plant down, like, you know, that then suddenly it's basically a city builder again. I feel like trying to come up with a way of having an alternative resource besides just what is effectively just photosynthesis, like, is going to be the challenging thing. Wildfire mechanic of having like fertility in certain grounds, that's really interesting as well, though, because obviously, you know, trees will only grow where there's mulch or stuff like that underneath, like where plants have lived and died and decayed and like given you a certain level before. So I don't know if that's actually a resource that you could have, like each tile has a certain
fertility rating.
It's like how like with crops, when you rotate to get better yields, it's that the soil needs to recover, because that's part of That's a living thing as much as, you know, the food that you get from it needs the nutrients from the ground. So maybe there's like a natural way of doing it. And forest fires are obviously, they seem to be that. And obviously animals, you know, having the toilet times, I couldn't think of a better way of saying that, on the ground helps fertilize that kind of thing. So you can use that. When you click on the burrow, it has a radius, and in that radius, if you place plants, they're more likely to get eaten. So you can place plants that have seeds that will be spread through feces, and maybe there's like, and in that area as well, there you get higher ground fertility, because that's where they poo, and then that's where they, and the same with the foxes. You can have a radius in which they will travel around to hunt for food. So you need to try and generate that near enough to the rabbits like burrow that they can hunt, but not sort of within their zone, because then it will just scare off that population.
I think
we're getting into a bit more of a
that's very sort of ecosystem heavy. But to go back to the city deconstruction thing, I think what I was saying earlier with the fertility of the ground, you've got the unnatural borders of roads and pavements and buildings and all these things. So obviously in no places is harder. So I guess that is over time, maybe the roads and everything starts degrading and there's cracks that form that allow you to potentially create pathways through that.
Are they creating natural bottlenecks and natural like borders for you? So you can't immediately expand everywhere.
I guess if you have more power or if you have enough points, maybe you could just say, yeah, fucking send the bamboo in. That'll tear that shit up.
Get the knotweed army out. Yeah. Fuck that concrete. Going back to your debuilder stuff as well, Tom. Like, is there actually a benefit other than just like the aesthetic side of it of what we're doing to these buildings, of like slowly debuilding these things? Like, is there, like in my head, like I know this is I don't know how people are actually imagining this game, but in my head it is basically kind of like it's like maybe isometric or something, and you can zoom in and out and go on like a huge scale and zoom down to like, you know, building level perhaps. But the idea of like occasionally hearing like the crack and crumble and then seeing a huge building topple over in the same way that you would see, like, you know, how you see footage of like icebergs collapsing, that sense of like, oh fuck, I've just managed to collapse this building because these plants have been working on it for fucking ages. And like, but like, as you slowly rebuild or reclaim this city, does that have like, and you remove the buildings, Like, or what kind of effect? Like, does that have an effect on anything other than, I guess, you're just like spreading your seeds further, or like, does that give you more like better access for the herbivores, or I don't know, like, how does
maybe that's does a form of order expansion, right? Like, maybe
right.
in every city builder, there's, you know, you can only build within these two tiles, and oh, you've got enough money to buy this extra tile now, so you can build out here. Maybe, yeah, maybe after a vine has completely overgrown this building, maybe the building collapses, or maybe that gives you a pathway to the area beyond, and it's a that's how you expand your borders and get larger areas, perhaps. Something like that, maybe.
Yeah, James, you were
yeah, I'd imagined it as sort of undoing the like bottlenecking. Sorry, I just you guys wanted to say something.
Just going to say, I can't help but think a dam would be a really good way of having level progression. So you might have, you get a certain amount of water, and then you go, right, okay, we need to bring this down. Then we essentially flood this area, get extra water in so that we can expand out. I think the level design, I mean, originally you pitched it as there being sort of very discrete levels, you know, or like scenarios, as it were. So, you know, are we imagining that we're in very small areas that we have a goal to achieve, or is this a much bigger area, like a whole island, for example, like maybe it's Manhattan or something that you're trying to spread over? Or is there fog of war? Is there like, do you only see your little area until you spread out enough that your sentient plants can just now see this far enough in the distance?
I mean, I know what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of like Pharaoh or Caesar 3 or that kind of city builder progression where it's like...
How does that work?
Originally... it's basically, you know, you just have you start out on a small map with small buildings, and, you know, you build a small town, and then the next town you build is ever so slightly larger. So I'd imagined it as being like a sequence of discrete levels that themselves get larger scale and more complex that require, and, you know, you have different species that are available on larger and larger things. It's not like a contiguous, you know, large city that you're just expanding through. In that original concept, totally not wedded to it. But that's, I think, what I had originally imagined, those kind of earlier right. city builders type progression.
Because I think it would be nice to have different biomes to offer you different availability of plants and things. Because, yeah, we don't want just oak and that's it. You want.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally.
Chris.
So, because I keep remembering it's a god game, and I said the words Mother Nature earlier. Well, you could also do it where if we've only got the one resource, and I don't know if it's I don't know if this really works with that one resource, but you could cause natural disasters. Like an earthquake could take down a tile with a skyscraper on it, or you know, you could choose to flood an area, and it does a certain effect. And especially with what James was saying about fog of war, I mean, you can just swap the word fog for pollution, and then as you grow, you clean that up. Therefore, it uncovers the part of the map, and so there's a radius around you.
I had conceived this as rather than I think the god game analogy is good in some senses, but I definitely wanted you to feel like you were. Like how when you see plants bursting through concrete in cities, like you are fighting against sort of this man-made like artifice, and you know, it's not like you are able to destroy buildings, it's that you're kind of punching through the concrete, you are like against the odds succeeding.
Yeah
Exactly. Underdog type story.
Underdog plants. Okay.
An undergrowth story.
So okay, Tom, what could you give us a rundown of what we currently have, or at least the general idea of what we've been talking about?
I think, Simon, you wanted to make this as something that you could build the engine for yourself and make this entire game. And we have come back and said this should be a AAA ecosystem simulator.
Paradox.
I'm imagining it as like a fully 3D like city builder where you plant trees, you plant certain plants, you are placing things that have massive effects on the ecosystem, bringing in particular types of animals that have different effects on it's a balancing game. There's so many different levels, and you need to make sure all the levels are in the middle, and that's optimal. But to do that is going to be extremely difficult, because you place one tree and then all of a sudden the leaf icon spreads way to the right, and you're like, fuck, we've got way too many plants now. They're growing out of control. And then you bring in the boars, and they're like, well, what do they do to plants? That's useless. And it's a game of expansion in a dilapidated ruined city. If I was to bring it back a lot to the example that you gave us at the beginning of the 6x12 tiles, I think it was, I think it could be compressed into a much neater, tidier puzzle game where maybe there's a pre-generated level of, you know, there's a building here, road separating them, and all of these different things, and you are one small grass tile in the corner, and you place something there, and you just see what effect that has. Maybe a couple of tiles north and south of that flip, and you're like, okay, cool. That means I can then get around the back of this building and do this thing. And it's a game that takes place over 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or whatever. Mm. And you place a grass tile, certain tiles around it flip and change to these different things. And you are basically, until you run out of points or run out of power, you're trying to reclaim as much of the board as you can. Maybe if you completely surround a building, maybe then the building flips. And you're like, cool, I've got now an infested, quote unquote, building of vines and plant growth and whatever. And that's worth 100 points. And the game is just to make as many points in the 5 minutes with this pre-generated level in a puzzle game format.
Yeah, like 20-minute Metropolis.
Yeah, or I think there is actually a game called Concrete Jungle. I think Tom Clark talked about it a lot, and that's what we based a lot of our game on. And I think that could be something that could be made. It does kind of veer away from this cookie clicker. You play something, you got photosynthesis points that generate over time. But I think there could be something there.
That's definitely like an interesting, it reminds me of those kind of tile-based strategy games that Lewis and Ben did a series on it. And it was like kind of mech style combat. Can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but like yeah that's like an interesting kind of alternative. Like yeah, it's a puzzle game basically. I think I am definitely coming at this from the angle of a like a life simulator god game kind of thing.
Small ambitions,
which is very simplistic, but I know, and that's also informed by the fact that I'm thinking, how am I going to program this, which I think I've learned is not necessarily a good way to think about game dev. You've got to come up with the idea first.
I think that's what we do a lot on this podcast, is we hear an idea and we say, okay, what if we had all the money and all the resources in the world, what would we hope to play?
How can we make this unmakeable?
But that's what Chris and James are here for, to rein us in, rein me and Alex in, because you're saying that you're building this engine pretty much from scratch. And I think when I was very, very young and I played games, I had the approach that game designers, they just willed it and it happened. They were like, oh, I want this guy to walk through a door. Yeah, I just make him do that. Like they were literal gods of games. And they could just say, yeah, Link opens the chest. Yeah, I just make that happen. If I wanted Link to fly through the ceiling, he could just do that. And it was that easy. As time has gone on, I've realized that, yeah, you need to
It's that easy, right?
You need to actually tell the computer how to do that. And I think if we were to compress it a lot more, I think a tile-based on hexagons, because as CGP Grey says, they are the bestigons.
They are the bestigons.
When you place a tree, it has some kind of effect. Maybe there's like the natural barriers of the roads and things. If you place a tree next to it, it damages the road next to it. If you place like a bush or something, it further damages it until eventually the road flips into a plant-grown road. And as time goes on, that road then... It's a game of just placing as many plants as you can before your time runs out. Or maybe even if it's just you can't make any moves against the unmoving city world.
The lack of loss/victory condition, I feel like, is one of the big... things I still need to think about. Like, I mean, the victory condition can be kind of artificial, but what actually constitutes a loss when you're a plant is a bit, it's kind of difficult, you know?
Yeah.
But is that perhaps where you have things like... like what Tom was saying about having the natural barriers or the unnatural barriers, I guess, of concrete, of roads and highways and other man-made things that you have to try and get past. And if you like eventually you either are going to be able to do that because you've managed to puzzle your way around it, or you're not going to be able to do that because you haven't.
I think Islanders has a very similar theme in its loss condition, in which there is no, the game never actually just says, you're fucking done, game over. It just, you can't make you any can't build, more moves.
Yeah.
Or I guess it does also have the point system that unlocks new houses. And if you don't make enough points, you don't get the next card pack that lets you place more buildings. But I guess for a plant or for an ecosystem, the loss condition is when you can't expand anymore or you can't do anything else. Like, because there's stuff just in the way. The area you have is the end of the road. So that's the thing where you have to focus down. If I don't break through this barrier, this unnatural road barrier in time, I'm not going to be able to expand, and then the game is over. James,
I kind of like the idea that most a lot of these scenarios now could all be right. So going back to golf, guys. I think
when you originally said that, I thought you meant like Spore-esque, that once you've terraformed the city,
I was joking,
in the
but, yeah.
Tiger Woods.
What?
Tiger Woods.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Tiger Woods. Fuck's sake. Anyway, let me say this before I forget. If we've got multiple scenarios, different biomes running at the same time, maybe there isn't a loss, but maybe you get into a condition where you're not generating enough photosynthesis or resources quick enough. So you go, I'll just leave that. I'll leave that running and I'll collect up enough photosynthesis that when I come back, I might have enough to break that last tile that I needed to do in order to get to the next step to then increase. So I can go, maybe we have a little globe. Again, we could zoom out of our map and we go over to say, oh, I'm going to go over to Sri Lanka now and I'll carry on my
God, so you've got an entire world now?
Well, if we've got multiple clients, you know, we don't need a globe. We could just have them next to each other and go, oh, I'll play that level.
Jesus Christ, Alex.
If we're thinking almost mobile game style, it would be like stage 1 to 5, and I'll go back to stage 5. So it's like there's never a loss condition, just that you won't get there quick enough. So you can go, I'll leave that running, maybe not in real time, but I'll just leave that running, and I'll come back to it later.
The tap mobile game. Go back. Sure. You click on the building. You get all the resources from that.
Then you come back, and then you just play an easy 18. And
but you could have kind of like local. Fuck's sake. You could have like local and global point systems where you have like the photosynthesis points, which is like essentially like I guess the energy to expand into certain areas in Manhattan. But then by expanding, you gain, I don't know, reclamation points or whatever that would be called, that is
new species
that you can then that then enable you to expand, or that gives you something that isn't specific to that area that you can carry that across and use in different areas globally. Or I don't know, I think we are like veering away now, I guess, from what you wanted initially.
I brought this idea because I wanted to kind of workshop it, because I'm like, there's a shit pile here, but there's a nugget of gold, I'm just convinced, somewhere in the middle of the pile.
I want Viva Pinata. I want to see, I want that bit, you know, in The Last of Us where they see the giraffes walking across the field. I want a bit where you see that, and you're like, I've done that. Like, I've somehow inadvertently created this moment. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely thought of Viva Pinata when I got to that point as well. But I think this is a weird one because we haven't actually got a solid idea as such. Like, we haven't heard your idea and then said, this should be the game. I think this has just been a mood board of 1,000 different ideas. So
that's okay, right?
Simon, At risk of you saying shit pile and golf is gold, do you have a changed idea of what your game is now? And are you able to sift through your notes of shit pile, also golf, and figure out what this game is now?
I think you meant to say gold.
My notes are incredibly helpful are...
he's just written a sad
days
face.
That's what days he's got equals on seconds is one of the things I've written.
Days, seconds, great. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I do feel like that certainly cleared up some things in my head. And it certainly also fired me up to do more on this project. It's definitely given me ideas for like the wind mechanics for spreading, as Chris said, like the whole burned ground mechanics. Like, I feel like that fertility aspect as actually sort of the thing, the underlying mechanic of how the stuff grows that's missing potentially. And from okay. there, then there's like a whole bunch of possibilities that I quite like the idea of, in terms of, I hadn't even thought about doing it as like changing the scale, for example, from like, you know, one apartment to an entire city as a concept. Like, I feel like that's probably more ambitious than just trying to do, because then you've got to make a whole load more art assets and you can't just reuse them over and over again. I'm not very good at making isometric tiles. Like, I'm really
that's
not.
Okay. You're only just beginning your game dev journey. You'll grow. Yeah. Just like the plants.
Just yeah. like I'll reclaim my life.
I think like you say, Tom, it's not, we don't necessarily have a game at the end of this, but I think sometimes this happens where we just come up with a bunch of ideas and that feel good, and then it doesn't have to come together to make a game at the end of it. Sometimes it's quite interesting to see what other people think.
Yeah, so, ultimately it's a city reclamation plant growth ecosystem game, and if you use some of the ideas that we've talked about today and have come up with or even thought about an idea of what the game could be, then screw it, let us know on Twitter,
please,
at Butch Pullers Howard.
And
Pitch,
also let
please,
Simon know
vowels.
Yeah, and let's
or make the game for me. That would be great. And then I can copy it.
Well, are you going to be streaming the progress with the game, or is this just like a little hobby on the side? Or
at the moment, it's just a hobby on the side. The thing with Claude is that, like, fingers crossed, it will be a couple of months more, and then it will be a passable dynamical model. In which case, like, it's just tinkering and fiddling with, you know, like dusting icing sugar on it, basically. Whereas I feel like maybe taking the game from scratch would be kind of interesting. So, I mean, Chris actually just sent me a bunch of links to, I can never pronounce the fucking name. Sebastian Lag.
Sebastian Lag. Yeah. Oh, that guy.
I've watched a ton of his videos, and I feel I'd love to get to that level, and maybe doing it on Twitch would be a good way of just overcoming my fear of not thinking I'm good enough at programming. So that might be
No one's good enough at programming. No one will ever be good enough at programming. Okay, so I think we've got a bunch of different ideas. Maybe not a solid game, but in my head, it's Viva Pinata in a City, which is what I'm going to go and dream about tonight, because I just really want to play another
game. I know we all have very different ideas of what this game is.
Please let us know what you think. Simon, thank you so much for joining us again. It's
my
great
pleasure.
To see.
I've got more ideas. I can keep coming back as many times as you'll have me.
Sure.
All right. Look, shit. Also, before I go, one final thing. The Yogscast Games Game Jam is happening very, very soon.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Check out the Itch page. You can probably just Google Yogscast Game Jam Itch. It's there. But if you want to make. Guys, just make some of our pitches. Make Simon's game for the Game Jam. I'm sure you can do that in 48 hours.
It's doable, I reckon.
December 4th to 6th, Friday to Sunday. We're going to play the games on stream on the 11th, and whoever wins is going to get like some pretty fucking sweet prizes as well. Worth a dollar.
Squiller.
So if you're into a game jam, check it out.
Simon, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Everyone, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
I liked my Tiger Woods pun, and I don't regret it.
That's good. I like
Shit,
that a lot.
Since that was the only name in recording, I guess we have to call this Tiger Woods, right?